So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time. Waiting for tonight. Oh. So, take a look.
It's Wei Ting and John Pollock, the latest edition of Review Away. Today, Wei, we are going to have one of the most unique reviews we have done thus far in the history of the show. We are reviewing the 1996 holiday classic Santa with Muscles because Christmas is coming up this week.
Yes, you informed me that this was going to be on TV this past week, and I thought it would be perfect for a review right before Christmas.
Yes, Santa with Muscles. It was produced in 1996, starring Hulk Hogan, Wei, who was just recently on The Law, and we heard part two tonight of my chat with the Hulkster.
Great job, by the way, John.
Thanks very much, Wei. I appreciate that. But let's get into this movie, because we should preface this by stating that, you know, we realize that on Review Away, we are having a global impact with a lot of our viewers that are our listeners that are coming from Ireland, some from Latvia, all over the world. So, Wei, you were so unselfish this week that you decided to watch the Polish version of Santa with Muscles while I reviewed the more traditional English version. Yeah. How did this happen?
How it happened was John was able to catch the movie on TV, but I was not. And I thought that I would be able to have no problems downloading a copy of Santa with Muscles off of the internet. I eventually did track a copy down, but after I downloaded it, I found out it was in Polish. So,
did it have subtitles?
It did not have subtitles. Oh,
watched the whole thing.
All it was it was this dude with a deep voice talking over the actual movie, but speaking Polish after every single line in the movie. So I had no choice by then, and I just watched it anyway.
I don't know how you got through it, because I had trouble getting through it in English.
Well, you know what? I have a feeling our viewings were probably not
probably a lot different, Wei. Well, let's get into this. As I do with all my reviews of movies, I review it like a match, where I basically go in order, and there isn't generally a theme to my review. So, Wei, let's get into it. Santa with Muscles. It all was built around the evil character of Mr. Frost, who's played by Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah. Before we go, John. You mentioned this was 1996. Can we just preface this with at what point was this in Hogan's career?
This would have been, I assume they filmed this either in early 96 or late 95. So this would have been the tail end of his babyface career in WCW, because it was July of 96 when he did the whole bash at the beach turn with the New World Order. So this would have been right near, and it would have been released while he had turned heel. Great marketing.
Oh, awesome.
This hero to children is not being a hero on television.
Well, maybe because this movie did so bad, that was the explanation.
Luckily, no one watched it, so it probably didn't have any effect on the latter.
You know what? I'd agree with that, but I looked it up afterwards, and this is one of the worst movies of all time on IMDb. It's like at least in the top 100.
Wow.
Worst movies of all time.
That's an accomplishment.
Two out of ten.
That's great. You don't want to just be middle of the pack, because at least you're in the top something.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, the evil Mr. Frost was played by Ed Begley Jr., who's appeared in such shows as Seventh Heaven, Arrested Development, and Pineapple Express. The movie starts off, Wei, with a monologue by Elizabeth Walsh, who is writing from her orphanage that she is currently living in.
I had no idea any of this happened.
She was in the orphanage, and she was writing about how evil Mr. Frost is, and everyone's moving away, and he's going to take over the orphanage, and she won't have a home anymore. And she's writing this to Santa Claus, even though she notes that she's allowed this letter to be written at the last minute, which to me, if this was such a priority, why wouldn't you have written this letter to Santa 2 weeks in advance? You know how holiday mail is. It gets backed up.
She's a little kid.
Santa doesn't get it till after the 25th. He's saying, fuck this.
Kids are stupid, John. She has no idea.
This one was. We then cut to Hulk Hogan with hair. He is trespassing onto someone's property.
They made this hair look really real, by the way.
Yeah, it was like a full-blown, like, plugs in his hair. Yeah. So he had a full head of hair. That's something to see. He's wearing fatigues here. A member of every nationality attacked him. Because, of course, all foreigners are muscle.
Yes.
And Hulk Hogan beat all the nationalities up. This was reminiscent of the late 80s in the WWF. There was Volkov. There was Sheik. There's everybody here. Then a man attacked him with a weed whacker and a rolling pin, but Hulk Hogan fought them off, including the weed whacker. And then it was revealed that it was all a practice, and Hogan was, in fact, just being trained here. And
Hogan is actually a rich entrepreneur who's very adventurous and likes to fight with the people in his mansion for fun.
Yes, and after this exercise, he started drinking a glass of wine, which for a guy that's been going all over the media criticizing Linda for drinking wine and swearing and cussing, I thought this was a bit hypocritical here, yes. The alcoholic Hulk Hogan here.
I thought it was so funny how his business, the Hulk Hogan character's business, is his own line of nutrients and foods.
The mass maker.
Yeah.
His nutrient
this
supplement.
This is awesome.
And apparently, I wrote here, he is a motivational bounty hunter because he gave advice to all these people around him, and he had the his name was Blake Thorne, and he had the Blake tips or whatever where, you know, for instance, he got into a car after this scene, and all of a sudden there was a police car chase, and I don't know what exactly caused this to happen.
My perspective of it, watching in a completely foreign language, was just that these guys decided to go paintballing. Is that what happened?
Yes, they went paintballing, but all of a sudden police were chasing him. And as he's speeding in this car, he goes to the passenger and says, "Rule number 20, never surrender." So at least you can't say. Let's just say that when Nick Hogan's civil suit comes up and they say that Hulk Hogan didn't have anything to do with this, they don't bring up rule number 20 in this movie.
Oh, my God.
Never surrender. I took a break here 10 minutes into the movie because we had not gone to commercial break yet, and I was worried that this whole thing was going to be commercial-free because it was a two-hour block.
I watched it commercial-free.
Hogan's next rule was, when in doubt, get out.
Then, by the way, Clint Howard is one of these incompetent policemen that are chasing him.
I know who you're talking about. I recognize him, but I didn't know who it
was. Yeah, it's Ron Howard's brother, the really ugly, weird-looking bald guy.
Very creepy. He looks like a poor man's Red Foreman. On that 70s
show. Oh, yes, yes. Good. There are a lot of that 70s shows ties on this.
That's very true. Movie. We then cut all of a sudden to a mall where there's elves that have lost Santa Claus and they're all settling up their gambling debt because they're all poor. And fuck, this movie, dude. I've like completely wiped it out of my memory. I watched it like 6 days ago and it was just.
I just watched it, but basically, the dad from that 70s show, Donna's dad from that 70s show, he plays one of the head elves.
Oh, that's who it was?
That's who it was, yeah. The guy with
the
giant...
You do know the other 70s show reference in this movie?
Of course I do.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, yes, it's Donna's dad. He plays the head elf, and he's on the phone with this scientist, and I have no idea what they're talking about, because
the scientist works for Mr. Frost.
Okay, who's
Dr. Frost? I don't know. Anyway, long story short here, Santa... Oh, fuck. Santa's disappeared from the elves. Hogan is fleeing from the police, and he somehow ends up in the mall. And... Oh.
He ends up in the mall because he's running away from the police, and then he finds this Santa outfit, which he decides to put on so that he could hide from the police. But first of all, let's get back to this Dr. Frost. So there's a scientist who's helping Dr. Frost, and with the scientist has his own group of villains, and they consist of an archaeologist, a man who sprays bad smells, like just the guy who's Stink Man, I guess, and a woman who shoots electricity out of her hands.
Think X-Men, but shitty. That's what this movie was. So anyway... Hogan ends up in a garbage chute, and he falls out of this garbage chute and bangs his head. And the elf finds him and tries to rob him, takes his wallet, sees the money, and then Hogan wakes up, and he's had a concussion, which we're all aware of now because of Chris Nowinski's studies of how these head injuries can lead to problems. And Hogan woke up and was convinced he was Santa Claus.
That's what happened. That's how did Nowinski's research find things like this out?
Yeah, Hogan. Maybe his character Blake Thorne had CTE.
Maybe Benoit. Nothing.
We're just gonna move on. He believes he's Santa Claus. He walks into the mall as Santa, and this was the second biggest pop Hogan's ever got in a mall outside of the first edition of Nitro from the Mall of America.
Very good, very good.
We have two random punks inside the mall, just thugs. Mm-hmm. One of them is wearing a Dare shirt. We are to be worried about this guy who is supporting drug abuse resistance education, way.
Yes, and the two of them decide to steal from a donation box.
Because the woman collecting has fallen asleep. So in a giant populated mall, they decided to take like a power bowl of money
This was not any donation box. This was a tank, like a fish bowl, like a giant fish bowl with some pennies in it. This guy decides to stuff it into his shirt and drops
at this point, the other punk, we saw his shirt and it just simply read Anarchy.
Okay.
Very scary. Yes. There was a little kid with blonde spiked hair who I swear must have been Dolph Ziggler, who was also in the scene here. The punks attack Hogan, who no-sells for them. And then we go...
Hogan beats the shit out of him. And then we see the real Santa being tortured back at the scientist's
mansion. Oh, that's who that guy was.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you probably have a better understanding of this than me, because I didn't know. All of a sudden, dude, I won't lie, I dozed off at points in this movie, and that's what my notes are all over the place. It's like I'm describing something, then we skip, and I must have fallen asleep.
That's
all
right.
This movie was horrible. I'm sure that upset one listener. But as we go on, suddenly there's a car chase, way, and the bad guys almost ran over Black Man, but Hogan stops the truck with a rope. He's attached to the truck, and he pulls the truck so that it stops. He defies speed.
Black Man, by the way, as you call him, is actually...
He was on Saturday Night Live,
Garrett
right?
Morris, one of the original
cast members. Not ready for primetime players in this shit.
And now he's the pinnacle of his career, Santa with muscles.
So we're at the orphanage now, and that's where it was revealed that one of the orphans was a young Mila Kunis.
Yes. Also from That 70s Show.
A lot of That 70s Show on this show, eh?
So they have dinner, and Santa decides to stay with them somehow? What happened here?
Well, this caused problems way in the morning, because the kids are all around having breakfast, and Santa walks down, and he breaks kayfabe, because he walks in without his beard on.
How does he explain it?
Well, in typical Hulk Hogan fashion, he just bullshits his way out of this and states, "Oh, Mrs. Claus is, it itches when I sleep with Mrs. Claus." And all of a sudden, we went into a montage with 2001 Space Odyssey playing in the background. I don't know if this came across in Polish, but Space Odyssey started playing.
I did not notice that in Polish.
Yeah, there's a heartwarming scene with Hulk Hogan and Elizabeth where she says that if she sings, then maybe her mom will hear her.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's just move on. This is we're spending
Hogan sticks around to save the orphanage. He fights off the henchmen. They end up in the catacombs of a church, and suddenly this movie goes and becomes the Goonies way. I don't know what was in the church, but something was locked, and it had a code. And none of the orphans could break the code because they said
this was the basement of the church.
The basement. I wrote the catacombs because it sounds more epic.
All right.
They said that there were three numbers that would open the safe, but they only knew the first two, 8 and 16. And Hogan said, "What about 24? And sure enough, the code was 8, 16, 24.
What the fuck? Was that it?
That was it. Multiples of 8.
They treated it like I was just watching the visuals only, and they treated this like a huge, huge, huge moment. Like that Hogan was the only person to have the secret number, and
he can multiply by 3 apparently. at this point, we got the heel turn by the elf, who apparently was working with Frost, even though
did we reveal what was actually inside past the door?
Yeah, what was in it?
It was a cave full of crystals, exploding crystals.
Of course. What other crystals would there be?
I don't know.
We have a number of viewers right now that are probably looking at their jewelry right now and worried. None of our listeners own jewelry.
So a cave of crystals. Just more to add to this beautiful script. Donna's... Yes, go ahead.
Hogan chased the scientist up to the roof, and you'd figure that coming off of the Halloween Havoc 1995 special, Hogan would have known better than to run to the roof.
That's right.
The scientist yells at him, "I have a Christmas wish. Get out of my life!" Hogan takes a bump off the roof to the garbage truck, but there's bags in it, Way, and he's saved.
Yeah.
He falls all the way off a building, and this is probably was an idea from the Big Show angle at Halloween Havoc at Cobo Hall, which we have reviewed weeks ago.
Yes, yes. He wakes up at his actual mansion, and by now he knows that he's not actually Santa Claus. He's been told that he's actually this Blake character, and he calls to check on the orphanage, but the scientists have taken over the phone lines at the orphanage, and they played a tape recording of the woman who works at the orphanage.
Leslie.
And the tape recording makes it seem like they're angry at Hogan for leaving. What happened?
Well, yeah, they doctored the voice, so it made it seem like Leslie was telling Hogan to get lost and not come back. So Hogan is hurt. Mila Kunis states that she no longer believes in Santa.
Then
Hogan returns to save the day, and it suddenly becomes Home Alone, because now they've booby-trapped the place, complete with the doorknob being electrified, and as someone that enjoys the Christmas season Way.
By the way, this was not any dude who got electrified. This was Chuck Zito.
That was Chuck Zito?
Yeah, this was Chuck Zito in a small cameo.
Well, if anyone's watched Home Alone 1, they do this exact same scene 5 years earlier.
Okay.
Lame.
So, before that even, we see Donna's dad taken hostage by Ed Leslie.
He's playing a ninja.
Using a tea ruler. I don't know what the hell, why the motif in this movie involves so many scientists and rulers, but basically all the bad guys carried with them as weapons a tea ruler, like that scientists use, I guess, that architects use.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this was their weapon, and he was literally holding this against Donna's dad's head. And taking him hostage that way.
So now, for any of you out there who have ever been to church, you might be familiar with what is known as a pew that you sit in. This is how the ninja was defeated, everyone. He was at one side of the pew, and Blade Thorne comes back to save the day. Is it Blake or Blade? What's his name?
Isn't it Blake?
Blake. Blake Thorne. He comes back to save the day. And he's at the other side of the pew, and he stomps down. And the other side of the pew jumps up like it's a
teeter-totter. Like a teeter-totter, yes.
Pews are not loose, nor would the trajectory even allow it to go up in that direction. Yeah. But it knocks out Ed Leslie, and he's dead, apparently.
Ed Leslie looks so weird in this movie. He had like a braided Fu Manchu.
This is probably the impetus behind the Zodiac character.
Yeah. He had like a braided Fu Manchu. And then at one point... There's like another. I don't know if you got into this, but there was another car chase with the cops after Hogan decides to go back to the thing.
No, I missed that.
To the orphanage, the cops finally stop Hogan, and then a cop pulls out a bazooka. This policeman takes out.
Oh, but I missed all of this.
Takes out a bazooka.
Maybe you saw the extended edition.
Maybe this was banned for Canadian TV.
It's too much for CHCH.
A cop pulls out a bazooka. And, he shoots it at Hogan completely unprovoked. Like, I mean, Hogan is just, I guess Hogan's driving his car in his Hummer. The cop takes out a bazooka, and then Hogan plays chicken with the bazooka and dodges it, and it hits Clint Howard instead. I don't know what state this would make sense. I don't know what state cops carry bazookas, but in this movie, it's pretty commonplace.
Then the highlight. Well, we should mention the woman ends up getting electrocuted by the elf. So I guess her electrocution powers backfired.
Yeah.
Then we go to a scene with Blade and the guy from Saturday Night Live. What's his name?
Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris. And they're talking together. And Garrett says, "Don't you remember this place?" And Hogan says, "How did you know?" And then Garrett pulls out a picture of a young Blade Thorne when he was a child and his family abandoned him. And Hogan lived at this orphanage. But the picture, Way, has two people in it. And it was Hogan's best friend who grew up to become Mr. Frost. Two friends torn apart, combined by the same orphanage.
Yes.
They grew up at. This leads to... I fast-forwarded through the end.
They eventually... Hogan meets Mr. Frost inside the cave, and they have a crystal fight inside the cave.
Oh, my God. Where the only way you could get through this is with crystal meth.
Yeah. I was so lost in this movie. I had no idea what this movie was about.
This is the end, seriously. Fight with Frost, huge explosion, happily ever after, fast forwarded, assume Frost is dead.
Yeah, the church explodes, the cave
tremendous.
Blows
so that's
up.
The moral of the story, everyone. Kill your enemy.
Yeah, the look on the orphans' faces when the church blows up was surprisingly unemotional.
Sucked.
I would just describe it as if a director told you to look sad, and that's how they looked.
That's the end of the movie.
And then, yes, Hogan takes the kids back home.
I don't want to review another movie for a long time. This has turned me off of movies.
Yeah.
What do you give this way?
Well, I understand this is a kids movie, but it's still an incredibly, incredibly poorly made kids movie. They just tried to cram too many things into one movie, like villains and with crystals and religion. It was just shit. I give it maybe half a star.
Negative 50. Nothing will ever be as bad as this that we've watched. Like, painfully, like, I watched my Sunday disappear watching this movie. Yeah. I did not want to do it. I almost called you to say, let's review something else this week, but we had already done the podcast promoting this.
You can watch this show on fast forward in a completely foreign language and just understand.
It's horrible. Just horrible. I hated this movie so much. So that's it, everyone. Santa with Muscles. Way gave it half a star. I gave it negative 50 stars. Nothing will be that bad. It's at a level beneath anything we will ever watch. So with that said, that was probably our fastest review, and thank God we got through that quickly. We do have a lot of feedback, though, Wei. So should we get to that now?
Yeah, sure.
All right. First one comes from Chris Davis. Hey, guys, love your work. Since you guys started this review podcast, I was wondering if it were possible for you guys to review wrestling-related events that you would go to should the opportunity arrive, just like the first Ask Away, where you talked about the TNA house show you two went to. Keep up the good work, Chris Davis.
Absolutely.
I think any time where there's a prominent show in the area, we should totally go and document the trip, because that TNA house show was good times.
Yeah. Any shitty events that are happening, I mean, listen, we know a lot of the people that organize these events, so we probably wouldn't want to go to some of these where we would, you know, bash them.
No. Got to pick and choose.
But if you piss us off,
we're there.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Thomas, who wrote, "Energy's fine, guys. Holy shit." Alex Stephanie writes, "Great job this week. Like always, guys, energy's fine. I like Way's laid-back style." Billy Gunn, who I don't think was Monty Sopp, wrote in, "Don't overthink it and don't worry about following the law. Keep it the same, nice, loose, like two friends over a beer." That's what we need, Wei. We need to have beers.
Yeah, we do. We need to be friends, too.
Well, one step at a time. We'll start with the beer. Suggestion for future shows, infamous telecasts, i.e. the Katie Vick Raw, the Finger Poke of Doom, Mick Foley putting asses in the seats, etc.
By the way, guys, I love that suggestion, first of all, because it'll be quicker for us. We don't have to sit through a whole pay-per-view.
Pay-per-views are long.
Yeah.
One thing I'll note, because we got a second one here from, Ryan Gilbert, who said, "I have a suggestion for an upcoming show for the January 3rd show to review the January 4th, 1999 episode of Nitro, which I would totally love to do if we could find it." It's just, obviously, I never have understood why WWE haven't put out, you know, blocks of shows similar to what other DVD shows do. Obviously, you need bigger, like a number of volumes, but like...
Yeah. Would you buy a box set of the January 1999 set of Nitro?
Well, if anyone out there knows where we could watch the January 4th Nitro, that would be awesome. I will say this, though, and this might put me at a different level than what you thought of me in terms of craziness, Wei, but I actually have a VHS copy of January 4th Raw.
Oh, wow.
Because it was one of the hottest crowds I've ever seen, and I taped it, and I just never erased it.
Okay.
So I do have the Raw where they... it's just the Nitro is way more shitty.
If anybody even wants to just upload that edition of Nitro itself onto like a Rapture or something, that'll make things much, much easier.
That'd be awesome. If we could get a copy of that, we'll totally do that for January 3rd. So please post if you can. Danny Longo, "Just joined the group. Thought I joined it a while back, but I was mistaken." "I love the show, and I'd say it has to be the 99 Rumble. This was in regards to this week, I went on and asked people what Rumbles is like us to review with January coming up. Thank you, Vince, for showing me just how far we've come. Ha! Huh. As a second choice, I'd say the 94 Rumble. Comes from Danny Longo. Andy Black. The shittiest Rumble was 92. Check out the card. Owen Hart and Jim Neidhart versus Tanaka and Kato. Roddy Piper versus the Mountie. The Beverly Brothers versus the Bushwhackers. The Legion of Doom versus the Natural Disasters. And Ric Flair wins the Rumble. The Disasters versus LOD had a bullshit finish. The Beverly Brothers versus the Bushwhackers was a comedy match. And the New Hart Foundation was nowhere near as good as the old one. Sure, but that 92 Rumble was fucking amazing. The one that Flair won, It was a really good way.
Oh, when are we going to do one of these Royal Rumbles?
Can do it whenever in January.
Okay. Well, we'll do that next month.
Okay. Two more here. Patrick McHugh. Things Santa with Muscles has taught me. The reason this kid hasn't been adopted is because she's annoying. If someone used a weed whacker is attacking you, a sandwich tray is more than enough to defend yourself. Falling off a balcony apparently doesn't hurt since the guy that went off it was up within a minute. Total no-sell. Hogan would have been proud. Puns are necessary for villain names. Dr. Vile, Dr. Flint, Dr. Watt, etc. Every kid in this movie is annoying, even the kid who shows Hogan his list, on which is a Hulk Hogan doll. Shill. I miss that.
Huh.
That cop had a huge forehead. Bad facial hair and bad hair in general was popular in 96. People always point out the obvious example. When the guy that stole the money from the unsustainable orphanage lifts up a candy cane right in front of Hogan, someone actually shouts, "Watch out, he's got a candy cane." These kids are really annoying. Hulk Hogan can't act for shit. And finally, we're always welcome to feedback, whether it be positive or negative. This comes from Travis J. Keithley, who says, "The sound was great. The energy was great. I'm highly disappointed in the both of you. Prior to this week's broadcast, I assumed you were both dedicated broadcast journalists." That was a mistake you made. "Until you refused to put the time and effort to find out the names of the two members of Stars and Stripes. I know this may sound like a petty thing, but this minor attention to detail is what originally made me a fan of the show. It took me less than a minute to Google Stars and Stripes tag team and learn that Bagwell and the Patriot were Stars and Stripes."
Yeah, this pissed you off quite a bit, John.
It didn't piss me off. As I wrote in response to him, I found it amusing. I want to apologize right now, everyone, that we didn't do our search on Stars and Stripes.
We are without internet, Google in this booth.
That's true. We don't have the internet present with us here. But nonetheless, we are apologizing that we were not on top of things. I'm pretty sure you would have hated today's review because that was quite the shitty review by us.
I think. We missed out on
we
a
didn't
lot
even
of
want one of us watch it in English and the other was dozing throughout it. So warning to all of our listeners out there, if you want professionalism, don't tune in here. So that concludes this edition of Review Away.
Yeah.
And next week, Waiting, I thought we would end the year off with a ECW December to Dismember, as a lot of people have been voting for it on the Facebook page over the last month. And the best part is, Wait, it was so bad, they ended that pay-per-view very early, like 45 minutes early. So it shouldn't be too long. It'll still drag because it's not a good pay-per-view. And it's one of the... I think the least purchased WWE event in history. So that's something to say. And I will also have comments from Paul Heyman when I did my interview with him last year discussing this pay-per-view. So we'll put that into the show as well next week that you can hear Paul Heyman's reaction to the show. That's all coming up next week. You can go join our Facebook group, the Official Review Away Facebook group. We're almost at 300 members, aren't we, Way?
I think so. I think
we missed definitely. Our target of 300 this week, but maybe this week we'll hit it.
Hopefully by the time this podcast is up, it'll be different.
I also thought of a contest idea we might be able to do for next week. Way, are you down for a contest?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that it is Christmas this coming week, so next week we'll be coming to you just after Christmas, and I thought, you know, professional wrestlers, they and mixed martial artists, they give us so much. They give us, you know, something every week to talk about that now we can give back to them. And I'm thinking that you guys out there can go post on the wall your creative Christmas gifts that you would like to give to some of the professional wrestlers or mixed martial artists you like to follow. Be as creative as you would like. What gift is most suitable for somebody? I mean,
for which wrestler?
I mean, what would you give Batista for Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Funds are unlimited here. What would you give him? What would you give Triple H for Christmas? What would you give Dana White?
Would this have to be? Is there a word limit or a wrestler limit or a fighter limit? Is there a limit to this contest?
Let's go Twitter and make it 140 characters or less.
Okay, but on the Facebook page.
On the Facebook page.
Okay, but we'll be
Don't make it super long. And if you're gonna post from multiple people, then make them separate wall posts. Don't jumble it all together.
Make
we want to make this easy for us.
Yes.
And then we'll pick some winners next week and give out some Christmas presents here on Review Away.
And be reasonable, guys. Like, if you're going to post, like, maybe 15 of them, we're going to average out what those 15
are. Yeah, that's one rule we have created here is when we do these contests, the more times you post, the higher the standard by us is going to be for you. Because if you put one fantastic one and 10 shitty ones, it's going to water down your fantastic idea. So make sure they're solid, because we're going to have some solid gifts next week to give out. So
what are the gifts? Do you know yet?
No, I don't know yet, but okay. They'll be good.
You'll find out. Maybe John's VHS copy of San Oath Muscles.
I don't have a VHS copy.
Oh, well, I thought I you taped launched it. Anyway.
It was on PBR.
Or December to December.
If I had it, I would still give it away for free.
You can have my Polish pirated version of the Santa with Muscles.
Did you get a copy of it?
I can burn it to DVD.
Oh, wicked. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll burn it in Polish somebody. That'd be awesome. Okay, so feedback always encouraged on the wall. Don't email us. Just put it on the wall. That's probably easiest. But you always can. John at the Fight Network, Way at thefightnetwork.com. Have a tremendous holiday season, everyone. Merry Christmas from Wei Ting and myself. We'll be back next week after Christmas reviewing ECW's December to Dismember. Mr. Ting, what do you want to go out with here?
Since it is Christmas, I would like to go out to a good Christmas jam. Merry Motherfucking Christmas by Eazy-E, featuring the first record appearance by Will.i.am of the Black Eyed Peas.
Merry Christmas, motherfucker! Merry Christmas, and a ho-ho-ho while I'm riding that cop under the mistletoe. I'm dashing through the snow in a candy rag top six four. Over the hills I go, laughing at this hoe. Nuts on virgin rain, making me feel right. Oh, what fun it is to know that I'm gonna get the pussy tonight. So ring them bells, ring them bells. She's taking it all the way. Oh, what fun it is to watch her suck my dick this way. Hey, ring them bells, ring them bells. She's taking it all the way. Oh, what fun it is to let my dick suck my dick. Okay, just the season to get bit. And cops are crying, look, and I'm smoking all this shit.
motherfucking Christmas. Merry motherfucking Christmas. And have a fucked up New Year.
Of lives ever after. The end.